This is a Bramble Jam podcast.
Hi, everybody. I'm Bran, and you better believe it, I'm loving When Calls the Heart.
Guys, it's the best time of my life every week.
What's your name?
It's Panda. And I sure do like that When Calls the Heart.
It's Dan, and you better believe that
This is the Deck the Hallmark podcast.
This is the Deck the Hallmark podcast.
Oh, it's Thursday. It's the part of the week where I start to get a little squirrely.
Weekend's coming.
Friday
and Saturday.
Guys,
and Sunday.
I don't like to tease out guests because schedules change, things fall through.
You know what?
What?
You're talking about this coming Wednesday?
I'm talking about I'm talking about next Thursday's episode of When Calls the Heart. Next Thursday's When Calls the Heart episode. I don't think you're going to want to miss.
Wow.
Now, if it's just a regular episode, you shouldn't miss it either.
Boy, I got to be honest. I'm going to give him even more of a clue here. If you like the men of When Calls the Heart, men plural, not the man, the men of When Calls the Heart.
Yeah.
Next week is going to be a very important week for you to tune in all week long. I won't say anything else.
How mad are the Hardys that we get to keep hanging out with When Calls the Heart people?
But how about that tease?
It's a great tease.
If you like the men.
The men.
You don't even know what I'm talking about either, do you?
No, but I have an educated guess.
Men, plural, of When Calls the Heart. Next week.
We got pockets, baby!
Pockets! Man, you ruined it.
Sorry. I couldn't hold it in. We got pockets!
Pockets.
Oh, my gosh. Guys, When Calls the Heart, season 1, episode 8, only 4?
4 left. Man, I can't believe we're back on the air this week, though. All of the Clay Aiken stands really mad at us.
Yeah.
After last week's episode, and rightfully so. We got tons of hate mail. So much.
Hey guys.
Yeah, Trace.
You know who was a fan last week?
Who?
Millie
Bobby Brown was.
She left a voicemail.
Did she? Go ahead and play that, Trace.
Hey boy, Millie Bobby Brown here. Wanted to thank you guys for the birthday song you sang. Really weird when you think about it. 3 grown men singing a happy birthday to a 17-year-old girl. It's a weird bit.
Well, you did it. Thank you for it. Millie Bob Brown out.
That's a great voicemail.
Yeah. I love that.
I heard Trace.
You know what? She's right. You know,
it was strange.
It was strange.
It was a week's worth.
It was a week's
of
worth.
Birthday celebrations for Millie Bobby Brown. That's weird.
It's weird.
You know, that's one of those things in retrospect that seems weird. But in the moment, did it feel right?
No.
But she's thankful.
Did you say, Trace, we also had a voicemail from Ruben Studdard?
Yes.
Go ahead and cue that clip.
I'm sorry for 2004.
But I love the show. Ruben out.
So Ruben wasn't calling in to defend Clay Aiken or to tell us good job.
He loves the show.
He just wanted to say sorry for 2004. And he loves the show.
He loves the show.
That's wild. Big Rube Dog. There he is.
Rube Dog.
Yeah, Rube.
Yeah. When Calls the Heart. Season 1, episode 8.
I was invisible.
Perils of the Soloist is the name of the episode.
Here's one of these, huh?
And it originally aired on March 1st,
2014. That's a better joke than it deserves to be.
March 1st, 2014, and it went a little something like this. Hey, welcome home, Adam. You guys remember last week we talked about being really excited if someone's coming home?
Yeah.
It's Adam Miller. Adam has been in the hospital recovering for months after the mine explosion. Remember the mega funeral?
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Adam wasn't there because he was in the hospital recovering. His wife, his two daughters, they're so excited. They haven't seen him since he was in the explosion. They're excited to see Pa again. However, excitement slowly gets tempered when they discover that he only has one leg left.
Left?
Yeah, left.
It's only one leg. He just has one leg.
He has one leg left.
Well, so it's his left leg that's left.
Yeah.
Yes.
Only one leg, comma.
Left. Forgive me.
Pa.
So Adam everyone is just, what is going on here? Even the family, they didn't have any idea about this. And he's just like, I didn't want you to worry. I didn't want you to think anything different of me. I just want to go. I just want to go home. Now, Elizabeth. Elizabeth is getting ready for the grand opening. The grand opening of her bakery. Now,
no, Abigail.
Abigail, sorry. Yeah. Abigail's getting ready for the big opening. Now, if you remember last week, there was an opening. Panda, you made a bet that she would not open up the restaurant for how many episodes? It would be at least two episodes. And so she did open it last week, but outdoors, an outdoor version. But
The inside was in disrepair.
And to that point, she's getting ready for the opening. She's very nervous about this. She doesn't know how it's going to turn out. Will she open it this week?
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned to find out. So Elizabeth it finds out that she has to do the Founders Day play. Every year, the kiddos do the Founders Day play. She didn't know about that. No one told her. And it's next week. So she's very nervous. She's not a theater teacher. And so she's very, nervous, and the backdrop ruined, the costumes destroyed in the fire. What are they going to do? And apparently there's a mayor, and his wife Dottie is very, into this, and this is her favorite thing in the world. And so has to do some sort of big performance for the Founders Day. And so she goes in the next day, and somebody had painted a beautiful backdrop,
a beautiful mural.
What was it? A beautiful mural.
I don't know.
It was a beautiful. It's just a beautiful. Who did it? I don't know who did it.
Could be anybody.
It could be anybody. Now Adam, you know, understandably so. He's feeling a little out of place. He doesn't know what to do, so he goes and tries to get a job at the mines, keeping track of wage coals, numbers
coal
or wage. Something.
Coals?
Coal wage.
There's five coals over there.
There's six over there.
There's six there. Here, wait, seven. I hear seven. It's a coal auction.
It's a coal auction. But he's very, like, frazzled by all the sounds and stuff of the mine, seeing as how, you know, explosion. He can't provide for his family anymore. And that frustration really explodes when the family decides to give him a better leg, because right now he just has the peg. Wood,
upgrade the leg. Yes.
He had the Long John Silver. He's gonna get
the normal foot.
And they've invested a lot of, you know, savings, and the town did a little pass the hat situation. He doesn't take it well. He gets very upset about this. He storms off and goes to who knows where. Jack is going to figure this out. Jack goes to find Adam in the woods, talks to him by a campfire, and Jack, you know, talks about his struggles with his own father and how he just, you know, wished his father was there and blah, blah, blah. And Adam is like, you know what? I'm going to be there for my kids, even if I got to figure out the best way to do that. I'm going to be there. I'm not going to hide out in the woods. So Founders Day play is starting. Elizabeth has put together some costumes, and the background is looking beautiful, and the children all start to do their things. And Jolene, Adam's daughter, starts to sing. And as she begins to sing her tune, Adam comes walking in, and everybody in the audience is like, what? And she runs and gives her dad a hug, and they begin to sing the song together. The next day, as the children are putting the set away, they're, you know, folding up the backdrop, they all start giggling at something.
A butt!
It's not a butt.
Someone, one of the kids says, hey, Miss Patrick, can I borrow your magnifying glass? I think there's a butt over there.
It's a butt.
So they go to look at the backdrop, and they're like, oh, look at the butt. And they're laughing, and they're all calling each other over. And so finally Elizabeth goes over there, and she looks. It's not a butt. It is a tiny little picture of what appears to be Jack and Elizabeth.
At least a Mountie and a girl.
At least a Mountie and a girl with some passing resemblance of them kissing. And she's like, oh. boy. So she goes to talk to Jack, and she's like, did you know about this? And who did this? And she's like, I have no idea, but I will do the investigation. I'll figure this out. And she's like, oh, no, it's okay, blah, blah, blah. And finally, Abigail is ready to open the store. She turns the sign from closed to open. So either way you spin it, it's open. And that, my friend, was When Calls the Heart.
Peril with the Soloist. No?
Perils of the soloist.
I was so close.
Did you say, I tuned out, did you say that we see that Jack painted the mural?
I did not say that.
But it's yes, heavily it's implied. Heavily,
we never actually see him painting the mural.
He's got all those paints that he,
yes, he swoops away.
Yes.
So he did it.
Yes.
And we're going to get to that and so much more.
So much more.
First, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk about the hot take of this episode and so much more here on So Much More Deck the Hallmark. Hi, everybody. Welcome back.
Hey.
Thursday is When Calls the Heart Day. If you think we're talking about the new episode that aired on Sunday,
you'd be wrong.
Hey, check back in about a year and some change.
Yeah, a year and some change. Yeah, so, summer 22. We will be there with bells on. Let's go.
Literally. We will be up to date when the show shuts down.
Yeah. Yeah. Is this the last season?
No, I don't think so. Not that I know of.
No way. It's hot right now.
Hot.
Team Lucas, Team Nathan.
Ooh.
Hot, hot.
Did she make a choice on Sunday?
No, she didn't. Apparently she did nothing, according to Michael Killen.
No, not again.
They've been doing this for what, 2 years
now?
I think
it's 2 years.
And she literally does nothing.
So I believe 2 years ago was the start of the triangle. And by the end, it was like, oh, she's going to make her choice next season. And last season, the whole season went by, no choice. And so here we are again.
You got to build the characters, though.
Yeah, they're building them, but.
Sheesh.
But.
That.
Oh, man. Let's talk about the hot takes of this episode, what we felt about it. No one holds anything back. We wouldn't, we couldn't, we shouldn't, we shan't. And I'm going to start with my good friend, Panda.
We shan't.
Yeah.
Panda? Hot take.
Yeah, this is the best episode where nothing happens so far in a When Calls the Heart.
So the best of the episode. Show.
No. Don't be mean. Yeah. Don't be cruel.
Yeah, don't be crass.
Don't.
It's a butt.
It's a butt.
Here, nothing happens.
Can you imagine if it was a butt?
They just look at it.
They look at the magnifying glass. It's a butt.
And Jack, that would be so offensive for Jack to do that.
So offensive.
Classic Jack.
Classic Jack.
He's a real Jack. No, but, can't do that.
Yeah. It's a butt.
Nothing happens. You get the episodes where there's some sort of action that occurs. This one doesn't really have anything that happens, but it's the best one. It's the best one.
It's the best where nothing happens. So there's 8 episodes. How many episodes have nothing happening?
4 of them so far.
And so this is basically your fifth best episode. So the 4 that have something happen are all better than this. Mm-hmm. This is the 5th best of 8.
Yeah.
Bottom half.
Sure. Okay. I think it might be my favorite so far.
What?
I love this episode.
Are you watching the same show that I'm watching?
I thought it was wonderful.
How?
I thought it was a wonderful show.
No.
Yes.
No.
Well, I'll take you where I.
Such a butt.
I'll take you where I'll show you what happened here. So, the episode starts and he walks out with one leg, and that is shocking. A shocking development. And from there, it's all rise for Brand. I love this whole episode. I maybe need to do a little bit more prayer and fasting about it, but like I do think it's my favorite so far. I'm falling for Hope Valley, and Cole Valley, and I'm falling for these characters.
What's Hope Valley?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. The episode worked for me. So sue me. Wow.
The only world where this episode looks good is compared to the scintillating drama last week of Abigail trying to open a cafe. That is the only way this looks good. It's the second worst of the season behind last week's episode. So in that small sample size, it is getting better. But that is the only good thing I have to say about this. It is really bad, really boring. It just, none of it
works. I didn't find it boring. It was
such a loser of an episode. Like, this character is going to be gone. I guessed he was going to be gone in two episodes or less. He is. The one miner that lives comes back, and he's not a part of the show.
I will say, this is what has made the season difficult for me, is when you start looking into some of these characters, I'm like, oh, we could build a real nice arc with this.
Not going to do it.
They're not going to do it. Like, these guys are literally one-offs, essentially, or two episodes.
Out of the gate hard on Wind Calls the Heart with Jack, Elizabeth, and Filler. Like, it's just like, we got to have filler episodes. Just bring people in and out and just keep doing that nonsense. That's what's going on since season one.
I've heard it gets better, though.
That's what I
hear there's a dip.
I hear everybody says you're not going to last through season two, and that has kept me up at night. I got to be honest.
But then it's all rise. It's all like rise. A roller coaster. Now, people they have got to upset. Find their footing.
Wasn't there a bad one after Jack died? So yeah, here he dies.
Yeah, maybe. And what season does he die? Five?
Five, and then six is bad, and then seven and eight have been all rise again because of Lucas and Nathan.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Lucas and Nathan bring it home. From what I've heard.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm excited.
I am too.
I don't argue that this episode didn't have like the action of someone getting knocked off a horse or the feelings I felt when Andrew Walker walked in with that stash, which is a feeling you get only once every decade. But I don't know. The episode still worked for me.
Here's what I'll tell you is that this show, there was a fleeting moment where I was interested in this show, and it was the mystery of the church being burned down. Because I like Jack and Elizabeth. I do. Like, I will tell you that Jack and Elizabeth are good. Like, they're good together in their scenes, and you want them to be together. But there was a moment when I was like, they're going to be able to carry on a serialized television show and have these fun stories all spinning. Can you imagine if we still didn't know who burned the church down?
It'd be great.
How great that. But no. The rest of the show is just like done in a vacuum where they're just like, what if we just had Andrew Walker show up in a mustache?
But don't you think like they're, you know, they're trying to figure out what they're throwing a bunch of stuff to the wall and seeing what resonates with the fans. And then season two will be more of what
resonates. Every TV show had got that leeway to do that. But you're telling me your defense of the show is right now they don't know what they're doing?
Yes.
Okay. All right, good.
That's the only explanation of the two episode blocks.
Yeah.
Like, it's the only explanation.
But you still love it.
I still love this episode.
Wow. You love this show.
And I love the show.
You said it's your favorite episode so far.
Yeah.
Yes, I stand by that.
They don't know what they're doing, though. They're throwing stuff against the wall.
And guess what? This stuck. That's my point.
Bad,
you made my point for me.
Bad.
I would be interested in seeing the Metacritic score on this episode because it can't be.
There's no way.
How many Hardys are
no way
Metacritic
bothered to review this? There's no way critics are like, yeah, Wind Calls the Heart. Let me get in line for that.
I would love to know.
It is a well-rated show, Dan. Someone's reviewing it. We are. We're the critics. Are.
We're the critics.
And your score's a 10.
My score? No. Well.
What would you put
let's
it?
Not go.
Out of 1 to 10, what do you put this episode?
Gosh, I don't know.
No, I need a number.
Fine, I'll do 10. You pushed me and now I said it. Sorry for all the feels.
It can't get better than this episode.
Okay, no, you're right. That 10 was, of 10. You should never do that. Okay. are you putting my score in for Metacritic?
I got it.
Okay.
I'm in right now.
Do a 7.5.
7.5. Best of the season. So everything is below 7.5. That sounds more like it. Now we're tracking.
That makes sense.
Yes. Yes.
Whale oil mystery. They find the oil in what's her name shed at the end of the episode.
That was exciting.
That is the best of the season. 5.8.
Panda?
This episode?
No, just
best episode.
Best
what
of
is
the
it?
Season and what's the rating? We're putting it in on Metacritic.
I'm not going to help you. You go ahead.
Yeah, it might be that episode. No. It's when he takes down, it's the episode.
When he takes Andrew Walker down?
Yeah, he takes Andrew Walker down and takes down the other guy. That's a phenomenal episode. I give that one a 7.5.
Okay. Same as you.
Yeah. Okay. I would say that.
Yeah, no, I think
this show can't beyond a certain point right now.
You have to save room for Jack and Elizabeth's
because it's
relationship
going to get
to
fire next year, and that's fire. Where it's all nines.
I got a feeling it's maybe going to get fire in season three. If these hardcore Hardys are telling us season two sucks,
saying season two sucks.
They're saying it's really slow and just not very good, and then three.
But it's
really
a slow
good.
Burn. It builds to three.
What does it build aside from Jack and Elizabeth? What is building?
The switch from coal to hope. Yes. Tell me that's not going to be amazing.
It isn't. It's not going to be amazing. Is that a butt?
It's time for All the Feels first show. We talk about what in this episode gave us those feels. Panda?
If you didn't get shivers and chills running up and down your spine as they were singing at the very end, and the paw comes in and the little girl just comes running and grabbing her dad, that's what it's all about, guys. This is that. It's that moment right there. Life. About that.
Yeah.
That's what life's about.
Hugs.
Hugs. Okay.
You know what I didn't resonate with at first, but now it's starting to become one of my favorite bits, is Jack and his dog. Like, at first I was like, what is he, like, what's the deal with him and his dog? But now, like, I think this is like the second or maybe third episode that's ended with him just talking to his dog.
Third episode.
Which is a much better way to end the episode over Elizabeth writing in her journal. Like, give me the dog bit every time. And this one where he's, you know, putting, he's confiding in the dog.
Confiding in Fido. Yeah.
His, you know, feelings.
He's a real confido.
Confido. I don't know. It worked. I loved it. And it made me happy. And also the butt. The butt was funny.
Yeah. Look, the episode's real bad television. Life is not all about.
Don't say it.
Walking into a door and getting your kids to hug you. It isn't. However, if you're a parent, there's not much better of a feeling than that. And that scene, as bad as everything is in that scene that happens before and after that, that one thing where she stops mid-song and runs to her dad and gives him a hug is always from the first, like, it's done, been done 1,000 times. It will always work. Even if everything else is bad, it will always work. And so that moment, there is no need to not stand by that moment.
We tested that because you had your kids run through the door, give you a hug. That's right. And then I ran through the door, give you a hug. You said it was not the same.
Not the same. I thought for sure it would be. When you jumped up and wrapped around, that was when it got weird.
Okay, close your eyes, and we're going to play a game called Is It Your Kid?
Okay.
And somebody is going to run and jump in your arms, and you have to decide, is it your kid, based off of the feelings.
I'm not doing this.
Okay, ready? Close your eyes.
Okay.
Here we go.
Daddy!
It's definitely my kid. Definitely. Yeah! There's no way around it.
Come on out, guys! we'll be right back here on Deck Ballmer.
These win calls are hard episodes. I think that's when you really get the best of us.
You do. It's the best around. You know what I mean?
I'm going to keep you down.
Let's get to the wait what's. It's part of the show where we talk about what in this episode made us go wait what's. And I'll start with my friend Panda. Panda?
So we need to talk about the vase that breaks at the very beginning. It falls to the ground, shatters. We are told that this has happened to that vase 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
First time you see the vase, it looks pristine, like it has not been glued together. She has glued this thing together 3 or 4 times, and they're getting ready to do it again. It is in 1,000 pieces.
But you know, you thought the whole cafe was in disrepair, and they opened that bad boy up in under a week.
So they're able to glue that vase together in
an hour.
I don't understand.
I didn't understand this vase has been glued together for most of its existence. Like, just give up on the vase, guys.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, like... At that point, you're wasting glue, I feel like.
I don't understand it.
Yeah.
Second thing, there's a mayor. I thought the dude who was the...
Gowan.
Big coal boy.
Gowan.
Yeah, Gowan. He ran the town.
No, not him.
No, big I thought Gowan boy. Was the dude who ran the general store.
No. Gowan is in charge of the mine company. Are you?
You couldn't even get his name right for the first 5 episodes.
But Gowan, I could have picked him out of a lineup.
Say you love the show. Think Gowan runs the general store. Get out of here.
You're right.
Poser.
That's on me.
You're a poser, Hardy.
Maybe so. And that hurts. But sometimes the truth needs to be said. I understand. Okay. And this is the most egregious thing. So this episode takes place in a 1 week time span. We understand that. It's Founders Day. They let her know, okay, it's next Saturday.
Right.
Okay.
Saturday to Saturday.
Okay. So that's point
Saturday,
number one you need to keep
Saturday,
in mind.
Saturday.
Founders Day.
Founders Day.
Founders Day.
Second thing you need to keep in your mind is that they do not know that dad has a peg leg.
Yep.
They do not know. Everyone is caught off guard. So keeping those two things in mind, sometime during the week, they bring dad a brand new leg. They said, we have sent away
That's right.
for this leg And now we got it for you. And we brought up a collection for it.
Yep. And it's before, it's during the week. It's before Saturday.
Before Saturday. Well before Saturday. It's probably Wednesday or Thursday that they've gotten it. Guys, let me tell you right now. And I had this written in my notes, and you literally said it out loud. That's Amazon Prime. That's Amazon Prime that shipped that leg.
That's right.
That is unbelievable. I don't understand. I don't understand that.
This guy, they went, I assume they worked through the general store, not Mr. Gower, the other guy. And he had to write down measurements, send it off. They had to make the prosthetic, ship it back.
You can't even do that today.
3 days. You cannot do that. Assuming they ordered it Monday or Tuesday, you cannot get a prosthetic by Friday. That's absurd.
Not happening.
That's crazy town.
Healthcare system was way better in 1910.
Yeah, say what you will.
Way better.
Although they do have a box from Toronto there, so maybe. I don't know, maybe.
They have an underground, it's like a chute.
You drop it in
and it just goes swoop.
Like a bank thing.
Yeah, but it's long, like the
very
the
thousands very, of miles.
Yeah, but it goes quick,
dude.
Goes
what quick. If we had that, like for travel and
for humans? Do you think it would work
to ship humans underground?
Okay,
imagine you're just laying there.
It's like a luge.
I don't want to say what if you get shipping caught? Humans. I want to say I'm traveling. I want to go to Los Angeles. I don't want to fly. I want to go underground. Swoop. You're there.
I mean, you're in like a nice little compartment. It's feeding you food and stuff.
Geographically, there's so much wrong with what you're saying. But yeah, let's do it.
We got the approval, everybody.
Good. That's the one. Dan was the one, the signature we were waiting on. Right. And now we can finally
really put the rubber pressure stamp on it.
And we're good.
Yeah. This is all a ruse to get.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, was that it?
Yeah, that's it, Bran.
My guy Adam goes to the mines to get a job, and this guy is like, man, I'm so glad you are here. I have fallen behind on keeping track of the wages.
This and the prime are the two most egregious things.
This guy's been falling behind on how much he's supposed to pay these people.
I don't understand it.
Yeah,
how does that work?
He's not logging anybody's hours.
Is he just like it's like, I'm sure, you know, we've all had jobs where we've had to like keep our hours. Have you ever had to like do an hourly sheet or something like that? And you get to Friday and you're like, oh no, shoot. Yeah. And you just take up your best guess. That's what this guy's doing, but with people's livelihoods. It's not just his number sheet. It's everyone's. He's just making up on a Friday. I saw him. Let's give him this. It's just not good. And another time thing is my guy, Jack, found out. They found out everything was ruined in the fire, the backdrop and the clothes. And they come in the next day, and that whole thing is painted. Amazing work by my guy.
Yeah.
That is a ginormous backdrop to paint.
Very detailed.
And he detailed it, and he had time to paint a butt.
That's unbelievable.
And that is amazing work by Jack. Amazing work.
Unbelievable.
Dan?
You know what's crazy is he could do that whole mural, but in the whole time he's helping Abigail paint the store, she can only paint one patch on the entire wall. They have a scene that lasts 3 minutes, and there's clearly no paint on her brush. She just brushes over that one spot like she's on the outer skirts of WandaVision, just like womp, 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 back and forth over and over again. Never paints anything. Never paints anything. I don't understand how it's possible. Also, am I to understand that this is the same play every year?
Yes.
Yes.
How do the older kids not know what's going on by now? That old guy, the forgive me, Pa guy who stole the sign, he's like, wait a minute, we got to do this in a week? How's that possible? Heck, bro, you've had to have done this play for a decade. How do you not know at least something that's going to happen? And it's not a play. It's just people that each have to get up and say like one thing, right? Yeah. They're never all out there together acting. Not that big of a challenge. There is the mayor at the beginning of the Founders Day thing, who we find out there is a mayor. They introduce the mayor. He comes up, and all he says is, reminding us of our past gives us hope for the future. Everybody claps, and then they start to play.
That's weird, isn't it? Not like good evening, thanks for coming to the Coal Valley, Founders Day, blah, blah, blah. I'm so happy that I'm your mayor. It's nice to see you here this evening. He just gets up and he goes, reminding of our past gives us hope for the future.
To be fair, it was a very somber Founders Day celebration. It was more like a liturgy. And I don't, like, I just,
that's why we get the kids involved for the somber stuff.
We saw no good news. Oh. We saw a couple things. The candle company shut it down. Everybody's losing their money, and then we got a solo.
That was depressing. I gotta be honest with you.
Oh my gosh.
All the people that made candles, they either died or they left town.
I mean, extinguished like our hope.
But it wouldn't that be the time for the mayor to give us some good words and not just like something he read out of a fortune cookie?
Nah, I think he's doing a great job.
He's doing a great job. Okay.
He's trying out.
He's there. Such a good mayor. We know so much about him.
He's crushing.
We've seen him a million times. You know the mayor.
Yeah.
Did we do it?
We did it.
It's time for Hopes and Valleys. It's the part of the show we talk about something in this show that's giving us some hope or something that's kind of bumming us out. We're not so sure of. Panda.
First of all, I want to just talk about what's bumming me out real quick is the fact that I'm still not sure when Aunt Becky's bakery either opened or closed. And it's bumming me out. I think at this point we could say I will have lost the bet either way. So either way. I'm conceding that. And I'm glad I got it over with. Fine. It would have been a real gut punch to see her flip that sign in the last closing minutes of this episode.
Thinking you really won, yeah.
Would have been a real sucker punch.
Because you're seeing her paint the same square.
And I'm just sitting there, right. I was like, yes, this is yep. right. And then all of a sudden, she's ready to go.
It's weird that they would have had the audacity to say that that's a really great opening last episode.
And then act like it never happened.
And then act like it never happened this episode. Don't understand.
I don't even say she's getting ready for her big opening.
It doesn't make it. Okay. It's whatever. But that bummed me out. That's a valley. My hope, though, is also the same thing. Bakery feels. I want to see more.
It's a cafe, not a bakery.
Cafe. I want to see more cafe scenes. I think this show needs more scenery changes.
A gathering space.
Yeah. Man, it's so many more things you can do in a cafe. You can have music night.
They do all that already in the saloon, right? Music night?
Yeah, but it's not going to have the same vibe.
You went straight to music night, which I think it shows you what all you can do at the cafe. I get what you're saying, though.
Okay, game night? Charades?
Saloon?
Not in the bar.
Grace the floors of a saloon with charades.
You couldn't. It would just be wrong. I'm telling you. And then baked goods. And I hope that they amp up the game with how delicious the baked goods
doesn't
look.
Doesn't she cook for the rest of the show? Like that's
yeah,
the thing?
And I'm pumped. That's a hope moving forward. I love food. Mm.
Yeah. You know, a couple of things that I'm having hope for. One is I'm hopeful that I think Jack is going to say something by the end of the season. That's my hope. I mean, the guy, he wanted it found, right? The painting,
He drew that on the painting.
Well, that is my valley. My valley is that he spent all night painting. And he was like, let's just see what happens. Let's just see what happens here. It was a weird bit.
Creepy.
It was a weird bit. But it was sweet in its own way.
I'm telling you, I think we get kissed by the season's end.
Yeah. You think we get a kiss by season's end?
I think season finale, we're
only
get a kiss.
We're only two-thirds through the season. Four episodes left, there's definitely going to be a kiss.
I hope so. I feel like we're getting there, but I also feel simultaneously we're not getting anywhere. And so I'm hopeful. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah,
But also worried that that's the little thing that he's doing.
That's creepy. My hope is I'm glad that Jack does have a pair of binoculars. my valley is that they make things worse. they are the Blurbuster 3000. He sees like a smokestack out in the distance and he's like, oh, you think that's something? And he puts his binoculars on and all of a sudden it's the same smokestack, but just with a haze over it. Just like a melange of like dirt and just smudge. Like, why use the binoculars, Jack?
It didn't even enhance anything.
It did nothing.
Is that what I think it is? I don't know.
Oh, I wonder how that would look dirty. Oh, yeah, there it is.
Have you ever wanted to see something from far away, look not any closer and worse? Introducing the Blur Bus. It's going to do the job perfectly.
Oh, my goodness.
Really quick, Pocket Watch, not here.
Not here.
This nope. episode.
Moving on.
And Smolder, what would you give Jax Smolder on this episode?
Okay, when he's looking at her knowing that he painted the butt, I'm gonna say I'm going eight.
This is what I'm gonna say. At one point, there's one scene in this episode where he's wearing a corduroy vest.
Oh, yeah. My goodness.
I envy that style. I'm giving it just the vest look alone an 8.9.
He has triple buttons there. That's what I was gonna say. Triple buttons, corduroy. He has a blue shirt, and then he has a Henley
underneath. It's a strong look.
Button. Lots going on there. I will give his Smolder this week a 7.2.
Oh. Ooh, that's a sound Smolder.
7.2 Smolder.
It's time for What's Calling My Heart. Each week, we read an email from a listener or a viewer that is going to tell us what's been calling their heart, what's making them a little bit happy these days. Dan, what's calling this listener's heart?
It's another one from Brian Harrell, which tells you we need more When Calls the Heart. What's calling my heart? But Brian sends us What's Calling My Heart. What's calling my heart is I recently watched the new Sonic the Hedgehog movie starring Jim Carrey and Ben Schwartz with my sons. My four-year-old pronounces Sonic as Zonic, and that makes me laugh every time. I never want him to stop. I know that Daniel's kids have a thing with calling the Sonic restaurant Tonic or something similar. It's Tonics. He would say Tonics. Can we go to Tonics is what he would say. So I thought he'd relate. God bless Tony Perkis. Daniel, can you name that reference? I 100% can. Tony Perkis, Heavyweights, Fat Camp movie, The Perkis System, Ben Stiller's character. P.S., Daniel, for crying out loud, listen to Bran and watch Middle Ditch and Schwartz. I know you're insecure that their bits might be too funny or that you don't want another performer's improv to get in your head, but in this economy, you take what you get.
That's true.
I guess now I need to do it. Thanks for telling us what's calling your heart, Brian. Really appreciate it.
Thank apparently, you, Brian. We'll just name this segment Brian's Time.
That's right. Brian's Corner.
Brian's Corner.
Hello at deckthehallmark.com.
Yes, please. We did it, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow. Trading Christmas. Debbie McComber's Trading Christmas.
Oh, not just any Trading Christmas. Debbie McComber.
Please. If you watch the other one,
you'll
be out of the loop.
Disgusting.
It's a butt.
Until then, maybe the first to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Deck the Hallmark is a Bramble Jam podcast. It's produced by Brandon Gray and presented by Friendly TV. Our lovely set is decorated by Plum Home Decor. You can check them out at plumonmain.com. For more information on Bramble Jam Podcast, go to BrambleJamPodcast.com. And to hear every Bramble Jam Podcast ad-free, go to BrambleJamPlus.com.